Hello, everyone, and welcome to Seacoast Church. So glad that you've come into the house of God today. We bid you greetings in the name that is above every other name, the name of Jesus. I'm so glad that you're here in Mount Pleasant at one of our locations, tuning in online. And this week has been a hard one for all of us as a country. We've seen so much happen in the last 7 days, from remembering September 11th, another mass shooting in the schools, an innocent woman being killed in a train, the death of Charlie Kirk. It leads all of us with a swirl of emotions: anger, confusion, sadness. How many of you are feeling those feelings today? As I was praying for this very moment, the Lord led me to his word in Romans chapter 12. And I want to read it over you as instructions from our Heavenly Father on how to process what we're all processing right now. And then I'd love to lead us in just a few moments of prayer. And so if you could hear these words as our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, reading them to you in this time. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love, honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. The world wants to co-opt the fervor we feel, not for serving the Lord, but getting pulled into all sorts of agendas that will be a distraction from what God wants to do in our nation. I believe that God is bringing revival to this nation when we take our zeal and use it for serving the Lord. You're gonna have to help me out, 8 o'clock. Y'all real quiet right now. Y'all acting like we haven't met before. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, and do not curse. The world wants to get us sucked into us versus them. But the amazing part about being a follower of Christ is we're called to build a bridge builder with whoever them are, because every them is one prayer away from becoming us. Come on, somebody. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. That's not me. That's not my opinion. That's not what I want to feel, but that is the holy word of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, speaking to us today. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. Ooh, you know God can pay things back 10 times more than you could ever think of. Let him handle it. Let him handle it. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. What? If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I'd love to take some time for us to pray. And I typically make y'all stand and hold hands and interlock fingers. And I know that's a little awkward right now, but if you are able, could we just take a different posture today? Could you just kneel? Could you just kneel on your hands and knees, if you can. If you're not able, it's okay. And let's just take a moment to go before our God. Father, it's been a hard week. You brought us through a serious digital detox, and then you put the test on Monday. You brought us through a series on the book of Acts, the church in action, and now we're in a spot where we need to take action, and we know action starts from receiving direction from you, receiving hope from you, receiving healing from you. And so we lift up our anger and our despair and our frustration and our finger pointing and all the things we feel which are real, and we just submit them to your presence, and we just confess to you that we know that we battle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and rulers of this dark air. And so, Father, we pray, Lord God, that our hearts can just mourn at the loss of life. Children in a school, a woman just taking a ride on public transportation, a man just getting up and doing what he felt called to do at a college camp. No one deserves to be killed in front of their own children. We pray, Lord God, would you be near the brokenhearted? And Father, would you mobilize us to action the way you would call us to do it? Whatever that looks like, Lord, we just want to say yes. And for anyone who's in this room today and you're just searching for some hope, we pray, Lord God, that would you speak to them as we look at your unfailing word. We pray these things in the mighty name of Jesus, and the church said, amen, 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 amen. Oh, hey, help a friend up if they can't get up. Man, I just felt some cracks. Hey, we are glad that you're joining us today. We kick off a brand new series that I think will be really helpful for us in the times that we're in. Sometimes it's best to learn from people who have gone before us, people who do it better than us, people who are stronger than us. And when we look through the scriptures, we can see heroes of our faith, and we want to learn from them. So we're calling this series Built Different. Built Different. And the title of today's sermon is this: It's Better on His Terms. It's better on His terms. We can build a life on our own terms, but when we build a life on His terms, it outlives us. It outlives us. I don't know if this week has made you think about legacy, but what will they say about you when you've drawn your last breath? Living a life for legacy is something that's pretty special. We want to talk about that today. If you have the Seacoast app, we've got the notes right there on the Seacoast app. You can download that and stay caught up. But today we're going to be looking at the life of Abraham. Abraham. The father of our faith, Abraham. One of the most significant people in all of history. Whether you're a Christian or not, Abraham is a man that his life changed the world. We see from one man many nations. We see three of the biggest religions in the world all being tied back to this one man. They call them the Abrahamic faiths. So that would be Christianity, Islam, and Judaism. So whether you believe in Christ or not, this one man had a big impact on this world, Father Abraham. And he had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them. So are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Remix by Forrest Frank. Get up on your feet. Forrest Frank is here. Just kidding. Just kidding. If you don't know that song, you didn't go to Sunday school, and guess what? This is the church for you. We are glad that you're here. Abraham is the father of our faith, and his life is defined by sacrifice. His life is defined by sacrifice. And this is an altar. Or this is our team making an altar. And Abraham's life was defined by this. And all throughout his life, Abraham would build an altar to worship God. He'd willingly sacrifice things. And his life really came to a head when God asked him to sacrifice the very thing he had prayed for his whole life. The very thing that was connected to his identity, his purpose, what made him get up in the morning. God asked him to do something crazy, which was lay down on this altar the very thing he had prayed for. And today, maybe, just maybe, God is calling you to lay something down at the altar. Because when you lay it down at the altar, our God has a funny way of making it bigger, better, and giving it back to you in a way that will outlive you. It's better on his terms. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 22. If you have your Bibles with you, Genesis chapter 22, where we're going to see something that, man, as a dad, I struggle. Could I have done what Abraham, the father of nations, did in Genesis chapter 22? Let's just take some time to read it. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it gives us life. Would you allow it to breathe new life in us to see sacrifice as an opportunity to be used by you? In Christ, we pray. Amen. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. God often tested people, not because he was trying to prove something to himself, but he was trying to reveal something in them. Bringing people to a moment of surrender is how God is actually able to bless us. And he brings Abraham once again to this moment. He said to him, "Abraham, here I am, Lord," he replied. Abraham was always talking to God. And so this is another conversation. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac." And he had to name him by name because he had another son. He had another son that he got on his own terms, not on the terms of God. We'll talk about that in a moment. But this was the son that he got the right way, with a miracle that only could have come from God. His wife was old, she was 100 years old, and they didn't have IVF back in them days. And so she was just real struggling with all these years of not having this child. And through a miracle, she gave birth to this son. The son came through a miracle. "Take your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you." Told him to go to the region. Didn't tell him which mountain, but he said, "I'll show you when we go." That's a pattern that God has in his life. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac, his servants. Throughout the lifetime of Abraham, God kept blessing him. And when he called him, he was just a dude. At this point, he is a wealthy man, and he starts to see the promises of God locked up in his son. So he's with his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." We will worship and we will come back to you. God told him to sacrifice him as a burnt offering, but we still see that Abraham has this hope that we're gonna come back to you. Remember, he doesn't have the Bible to read to figure out how this story goes. He's living it real time. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. And he carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up to say, "Wait a minute," and said to his dad, "Hey, Dad, what's up, son? The fire and the wood are here, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering?" How you respond to that? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. I almost brought one of my sons up here, but that's gonna be like when church illustrations go too far. And I got two sons. Which one would I choose? I don't know. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. It's crazy to think that God really wants no limits in your life. It's crazy to think that God really wants to have nothing in your life that's above him. And he puts Abraham in this spot where he says, lay down your one and only, the son you spent 100 years trying to get. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket, he saw a ram caught by his horns. And now we know him as the father of many nations. But to see Abraham in Genesis chapter 22 and compare our faith to his, it's kind of like thinking that you're gonna run for the first time and showing up at an Ironman triathlon in Hawaii. It just seems so inconceivable. So how did God build him different to be ready to sacrifice his own son? And he had a real faith that said, no matter what happens, God's still in control and I can still walk with him. That faith isn't built in Genesis chapter 22. It's built by his continual surrender to a number of different things. And so today I just want to talk about five of them. Five different areas of sacrifice that ultimately Abraham had to lay down so he could do something like that and now be known as a father of nations. And so let's just talk about a few of those. So one, location is better on his terms. Location is better on his terms. The journey that God wants to put you on pushes us out of our comfort zone. For God to really start using you in your life, he's gonna start pushing on your coordinates for your life. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. The Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. To the land I will show you. He didn't show it to him. He said, I will show it to you. Leave everything that's comfortable and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Looking ahead towards Jesus. So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. Side note. God didn't start speaking to Abram before he was 75. A lot of times we see in scripture, God speak to people when they're real young, but for Abram, he started real talking to him when he was 75 years old. If you are in the fourth quarter of your life, just know God's just getting started with you over time, baby. That's right. Hey, you keep talking back. Over time. God didn't have you work 35 years, get a pension so you could play golf all day. He just started with, hey, turn to your neighbor to say, God just got started with me. location is better on his terms. But the start of his walking into his purpose meant he had to leave his comfort zone. If you believe that faith is about keeping you in your comfort zone, then coming to this altar is gonna be hard. And so the first thing that he had to do is just surrender his location. Because to walk into the family God wanted to create in him, he had to leave everything that was comfortable to him. Location is better on his terms. Has God ever like moved you? Wave at me if you moved here from New Jersey in the last 5 years and you just felt like God was saying, hey, come to the land of milk and honey. Come on, somebody. God's still moving people. Woo! Has God ever moved you? I remember when I first got married, like God told us, hey, we gotta go to Charlotte. I couldn't understand why. I didn't understand it. I couldn't see ministry. God saw ministry. I couldn't see that the bank I was at, they were looking to downsize. I didn't know that me and my assistant branch manager were on a chopping block. And then when I left, it saved her job. I didn't realize all these different levels of purpose. But when God moves you, like when he tells you to do it, just go. Just go. Location is better on his terms. Timing is better on his terms. So if location is about where, timing is about when. Go to the land, I will show you. The thing about walking with God is like this. He's less like your maps on your phone giving you GPS directions. He's more like the friend that hops in the truck and says, hey, I'll show you when we get there. You ever been with a friend? And they're like, hey, man, it's not on the GPS, but I'll tell you. And you're like, oh, I gotta trust this guy. That's what walking with God feels like. His timing is on his schedule, not on our own. His timing's on his schedule, not on our own. Move further down in the book of Genesis. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. He just got through this crazy battle fighting to save the life of his nephew. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate is old Eliezer of Damascus? You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. His life was all linked to his legacy. And God is telling me, hey, I'm with you. And he's like, really? But what about this? Time's running out. Then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look up at the sky and count the stars. If indeed you can count them, then he said, so shall your offspring be. And then the next verse says this, Abraham believed the Lord and he credited it to him as righteousness. And so God's saying, hey, my timing is perfect. I am with you. And it's not just what you can see, it's the trust in what you can't see because I'm in control. And for a lot of us, me included, the timing of God is the hardest thing to surrender to. Hey, just wave at me honestly if you feel like God's late in something in your life. Come on, let's be honest today. It's a safe place. You, man, God's late. And late God, or the feeling that God is late, is the easiest way the enemy gets us to compromise. The easiest way he gets us to compromise. So then Abram heard that. It was credited to him as righteousness. And then sooner than later, the impatience rose up. And then impatience said, man, I'm gonna take some matters into my own hands. And so his wife, Sarah, she was tired of being barren. And so she's like, hey, if it's supposed to be through your hands, a son supposed to make us in a great nation, Hagar's over here. How about we just open up our marriage a little bit? I'm looking at all y'all people with pineapples. Open up the marriage a little bit, and we're gonna have a baby one way or another. And he's like, babe, you asking me to do this? And she's like, do it. He's like, okay, well, if you told me to. And so they have this baby, Ishmael. And he's a beautiful baby. And he is innocent. And he's good. But then Sarah begins to despise the very shortcut she said that we should all make. Have you ever despised a shortcut you said you'd make? You know, another thing that's cool about our God is this. Mistakes are better on his terms. The thing I love about reading the Bible is this. God don't hold back nothing. He shows us who people are, all their stuff, what they struggle with. And Hagar is sitting there, and she's seen this conflict, and she just grabs her son, and she goes. And while she's running, because she's sitting in the weight of all these mistakes, the angel of the Lord comes and talks to her. The angel of the Lord is significant. There's two angels you'll see in the Old Testament. An angel of the Lord, that's a normal angel. The angel of the Lord is the pre-incarnate Christ. So Christ walks up to her and says, don't go. I got a plan for your own son, and I'm even gonna bless him in the middle of their dysfunction. You know God can handle your mistakes when you stay close? That's what he's trying to tell her. He's like, hey, just go back, stay close to me and my promises, and I'm gonna bless you. And this is what she says. She gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her. You are the God who sees me. Everyone else saw her as a means to an end, but God was the only one who truly saw her. I have now seen the one who sees me. You know, our God sees your stuff and he sees you anyways. He still has purpose for you, even in the middle of your mistakes. That is why the well was called Beer Lai Roy. It is still there between Kadesh and Bered. So Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram gave the name Ishmael to the son she had born. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore him Ishmael. Identity is better on his terms. Identity is better on his terms. He calls you by a new name before you even walk in it. God calls you by a new name before you've even taken a step. When we surrender our hearts and lives to Christ, he calls us by a new name, and he sees us through the eyes of potential and his perfect son, not where we're at today. But if we keep trying to find our identity on our own, it's never going to be near to the terms that he has in store for us. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. Abram fell down and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. You will be called Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. And then God says, but we got a new covenant called circumcision. And so God said, I call you a new name, but the only way to receive the name is you got to cut off, man, the central part of your identity. Come on, man, in this room, make some noise, somebody. Every guy you're sitting next to is at most a seventh grader, okay? And so he says, hey, circumcision is this covenant that says that your identity is found in me. And God can use you when we surrender the most intimate parts of our identity and say, God, I find myself in you. God, I am a Christian before I'm a black man. I surrender my identity in you. God, I'm a Christian before I'm a business owner. I surrender my identity to you. I'm a Christian before I'm an army officer. I surrender my identity in you. I'm a Christian before I'm conservative or liberal, because my identity is found in you. So we've been talking about it's better on his terms, but Joel, what are his terms? What are God's terms? What does he want from me? His terms are real simple. Just two simple things: connection and surrender. Those are the only two terms God has for you. Connection, staying close. He just wanted to walk with Abraham, and he did. He just wanted to talk with Abraham, and he did. And you can see there's times where he would whine at God, yell at God, and God was still close. And there was times when he talked God off a ledge. But he just wanted to have intimacy with him. But to receive that, we just got to lay it down. We just got to lay it down. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. And we worship God every single day by laying down our location, by laying down our need for timing, by laying down our mistakes, by laying down our identity. And maybe today you're in the room and you're like, so how do I lay it down? Jesus came years later as the perfect, spotless sacrifice. And the same way Isaac didn't complain, didn't worry, he just trusted in his father, the same way Jesus willingly died on a cross for your sins. Freedom is found in releasing your control of your life and saying, God, I just need you to take over. I just surrender the weight of my sin and I receive your love. And today, before we go any further, I want to give everyone in the room the opportunity to respond to the good news that Jesus loves you. He died on a cross for you, and his plan for your life is bigger than you could ever ask, hope for, or even imagine. And so, with every head bowed and every eye closed, campus pastors at all locations are gonna come on the stage. I'd just love to lead you in a simple prayer to begin a relationship with Christ. For the benefit of those who are coming to God in this moment, would you repeat this prayer after me so they know that they're not alone? Dear Jesus, I come to you, a sinner in need of a Savior. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the Savior of the world. Today, I surrender my sin, my shame, and I receive your love. I receive your freedom. I receive your spirit, and I receive your salvation. Father, would you bless everyone who's beginning a relationship with you? Would you bless everyone who's coming back to your heart? And may we all see each and every day that it is always better on your terms. We pray these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.